All right, here we go. Welcome to Wake in the Future. I am Pat.
Good morning, guys. I am Joel.
Good morning indeed. All right, it's Sunday morning, November the 20th, 2022. A good morning to you, Tony. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Pat. Joe.
All right, man. Happy
People.
to have you as always, bro. So
Thanks.
yeah, man, we're trying to keep this a regular thing where we can kind of continue where we left off from the last. And guys, we just spent a few minutes kind of going over like, hey, where did we leave off the last time? And just trying to get a general idea. And I think we've got everything all squared away here because it's always a good conversation with you, Tony. I enjoy the direction that you've brought things with this constantly updated document
Yeah.
that you keep sending over to us, which is really cool. So we kind of, settled on the general methods of influence. And guys, the last time we were talking, we were talking about how, I guess, we're controlled through society, or maybe not you specifically or us specifically, but how the masses of people are controlled through society and all the different methods of control. Does that monopoly on our attention that they have going on. Social media being one of the biggest influences right now, along with obviously the television and the other things. But one of the things we'll get into today is going to be just a general kind of walking around in society and the different ways that they get our attention, program us to think in specific ways. Basically, Tony, I mean, under your section in this document, you talk about the general methods of influence, and it starts out with reciprocation. So kind of take it from there, man, and see what we
Yeah,
got.
cool. Yeah, reciprocation is there's five, I think there's five or six
Yeah.
main headings from a book I've got called Influence by Paul Cialdini, I believe his name is. It's banned in the US and Canada, by the way, if you want to buy it. But there's reciprocation, commitment and consistency, social proof, liking, authority, and scarcity. But the first one, reciprocation, it just means you do something for someone else. It could be you're walking through the street and a woman offers you a little posy of flowers, a gypsy woman or someone. And then you go, oh, thanks, and walk away. They go, no. Money, money. It's like you feel obliged to give them some money, but they forced it on you. Or like the car dealership, they'll lay on a tray of boiled sweets in the reception area and butter you up with praise and, oh, you look good today. And then when it comes to buying a car, you feel obliged to spend more than you may have spent. You know, so there's these that subtle things. They give you a little thing and you don't realize psychologically you feel obliged, indebted to reward them back. It's a reciprocal thing.
Coercion.
Coercion,
Yeah.
exactly. It is
Well,
actually that.
to
Yes.
get your new
Oh.
bank account, we'll give you a free toaster.
Oh, wow. I
Hey,
might.
I need a new bank account.
I do. I'm getting rid of mine.
Yeah.
I got a new toaster. Why? Was the other one not making toast? Like, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's definitely, I mean, that's something that can have net positives to it, though, I feel, Tony.
Yeah.
The reciprocation. I mean, for example, we use something like that, obviously, with our company with Awaken Attire. We offer, sign up for a free, email newsletter and get your 15% off on your first
Yeah.
purchase. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, can there be good? Can there be net positives to utilizing this tactic?
Yeah, I mean, in your example there, I mean, I will explain to people that your stuff is without,
Love it, dude. Love it.
and also this, because I had no idea what you were selling, what kind of quality, because I'm not very trusting with most people, but I get a feel about people. I thought, yeah, I'll take a chance, I'll buy a hoodie and a mug. And without that, it's the warmest hoodie I've ever owned, and
Love
it's
it.
quality wise, is I just love it. Anyway, without going into all that, yeah, the 15%, it entices people to try it. You know, if they weren't going to try it, it might make them go, yeah, all right, 15%, I'll buy one and see how it goes. And now I've bought this and the mug, I will buy more, you know, when I get some money, because it's quality stuff. And the process of saying, tempting you with a 15% discount or a suite or whatever it is, if it's in the right intentions, the company isn't trying to con you, it works.
Right.
Because they're a fair company. You do get people that are fair and companies that are fair. But when you deal with most of the mainstream corporate business, they're sharks. They're not in it for fairness. Yeah. They want to take every penny out of your bank account as possible. And like, because you are real people, you work for a living, you've experienced tough life, you can empathize with people. With most of the corporate world, they're middle class or upper class, born into it, silver spoons, not saying all of them, but the corporate world isn't empathetic to people. So they're like, take, take, take. So it's a machine. So, I mean, if it's coming across, I just see it as it can work if you're good people.
Right.
Well, that's like so many of the things that, you know, we'll discuss or we're going over, you know, when I'm going over when I'm in doing some research is a lot of the things that we study and that we see can be positive, can be used in a positive, like the NLP that we're going to go over later.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where I think some confusion comes in,
yeah.
Where we'll be talking about something, but talking about how they use it in a negative way. But when you initially bring up the subject, the people's, like we were just talking about before we started recording, Tony, their subconscious kicks in. And you're like, bah, no, that's good. No, it's used for that. And it's like, settle down, Gunsmoke. Yeah. Like, I'm going to show you how they use this particular method or whatever it is in a negative way. So, you know, it's not, but and like we just said, it's not coercion. If I'm saying, look, try this, you're going to get some high quality stuff. You're going to get some conversations, like great, good conversations, engaged. And this is what it is. That's not, now it's just the reciprocal like that we're talking about. Now it's not the coercion side of it.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting that they just use methods in an evil manner.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that bank that's going to give you the free toaster, they want you to open up another account because then they're going to be able to loan out more of your money for free and create more money for nothing in order to line the pockets of them, their own, you know. And that's one of the things. And I'm happy that you did mention it in that way, Tony, because, you know, there are a lot of great companies out there that do actually look out for for people and for people to be better and all the rest. And it's hard to sometimes decipher between them. Exactly. But, you know, it's interesting. Like when we had our conversation with Matt Landman the other night, instantly between the three of us, we kind of felt like this. It was a positive, good vibe between us where it was like, you know, it was like the first time we kind of talked with you face to face, Tony. In the comments, you know, we knew there was something going on here. And then when we finally got that chance to have that conversation, you get that feel about people. And he talked about it a little bit too, with going on the gut, you know, going with your gut instinct.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think a lot of you guys watching today understand and have that ability. But, you know, so many of the masses of people out there, they lack that ability. And, you know, that's a conversation for another day. But this is how these types of things work, the reciprocation things, and how they can work in a negative manner towards people too. So let's keep moving, man. This is a good category.
Yeah, so that's quite straightforward. Then we have a commitment and consistency, which is a sort of process where I used it in the prison of war camps, I think most Vietnam, Russia. And what they do, and in business in particular, they will get you to sign maybe a truth pilot, whatever they call it. You know, what do you think of our company? Give us a review. I bought something on eBay, you know. Mm-hmm. Review your Bic pen. It's like, why? but you write a review of a Bic pen, and then in your head, psychologically, you're now a Bic pen fan.
Yeah.
Because you wrote, yeah, it's a big pen. It wrote ink, big deal. Yeah. But in your head, they've now made you believe Bics are great. And it's the commitment and consistency where you next they next send you a free Bic pen or you buy another Bic pen. And it's a psychological, making your behavior consistent with their products.
Right.
So...
major brands and that brand recognition and how, you know, you could probably, I mean, not probably, you'll find a billion pens out there that are going to do the exact same thing, but the Bic pen is the only one.
That's
the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or the prison of war camps, they'll get some hostages and then they'll say, right, if you don't give us our ransom, we're going to kill the hostages. And they bring out a hostage with a blindfold on.
Hmm.
And they made him, previously, made him write out a statement saying, these are good people, you should give them the ransom. And behind the scenes, they've divided and ruled all the other prisoners, telling them, this prisoner A is against you, they've grassed you up, and prisoner B has grassed you up. And they've turned them against each other and made them write stuff down and repeated it back to them and said, you said this, didn't you? And go, yeah, but under duress. Right. But you said it, and then they get next day getting more tired and repeat it and repeat it, and then they believe they've actually said it and believe in it. So,
You see it with you see it with people during interrogations too, where you just wear them down.
Yep.
You
just the police use that tactic constantly, man. They've gotten so many people to admit being guilty to something without even necessarily admission, just because they've worn them down to the point. I mean, it's a tactic used by militaries, of course, as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, you beat people down to the point where they're just like, if you will make this stop, I will give you whatever it is that you're looking for. And, you know, that's a prime example right there of this being used in such a negative way. And, you know, again, you can find the positive ways where, you know, it's like, hey, write us a review and, you know, let us know what you really thought about the product or about the service or whatever it may be, you know, and maybe there'll be a net win over, you know, in the future for you as far as maybe some more savings or, you know, whatever it may be. But then you have this negative side of things where, you know, and again, I think it's a fine line between them.
Yeah. Yeah. You can have a consistency towards the products.
Yep.
The next one is the one I really want to touch
on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This one, it's funny, Joel. I was just thinking that in my head, too. I'm like, yeah, because I got something else to add to this one as well.
Yeah. But yeah, that consistency, commitment, it's like locking you into a brand or a company or an ethic, and you've got to make sure it's the right ethic you're locked into to begin with. But yeah, the social proof. I like this one. This is also awesome because it's, you know, it's the wall-to-wall coverage of everyone's doing it, so it must be right.
Yeah,
it says, I put down, when everyone else is doing something, it appears to the uncritical mind, it must be the right thing to do. Very rarely in my experience, lots of people wearing face masks doesn't mean that wearing a face mask is the right thing to do.
Right.
Judge everything on its merits. So yeah, we see it in society in general, especially now where everyone's on their phone or, you know, they're wearing the same clothes, they're speaking the same lingo.
Yep.
And it's like psychological conformity and visual conformity. And that's it's called social proof. So if you're not doing what they're doing, it kind of makes you sometimes feel that I should be doing that to fit in without realizing it.
Well, in the past few years, obviously, has been a big example of this going on. And you can compare it with the Milgram experiment, like we were talking about earlier, Tony, before we started. You know, the Milgram experiment, for any of you guys that may not know, was it was done at Yale University by Stanley Milgram. And basically, it was a levels of electrical shock that, you know, the participant would give to the receiver on the other end, based upon, you know, questions answered, right, wrong answers, etc., to see how far, you know, people would go when it comes to following orders or their obedience, I think is the word that they use to describe it and the experiment, and it was done after World War II and in the 60s. And basically they utilized, I think it was one of the trials, part of the Nuremberg trials, one of the people on trial. Let me go over and look here real quick. Adolf Eichmann, after his trial. So, you know, it's one of those things where we saw this happen in the past few years, obviously masking, like you mentioned in this as an example, being a big one, right? How far would people go when it came to those of us that don't wear masks in public? And we saw some pretty insane things happen. And then obviously the next step was injections and all the rest of the nonsense that came along with it. And, you know, people we saw will go to drastic measures. Yeah. You know, they definitely, I don't feel, are the majority out there, because the majority are just, you know, they may be complying, but they're only administering the first level of voltage, but then you do have those people that will administer the deadly dose of voltage, as it would be in the Milgram experiment, and you know, definitely dangerous.
But I think this is probably one of the only times you'll ever see me really discuss masks. But when we talk about this nonsense and everybody doing it, let's look at, so we got the social proof, but now we can also see the commitment and consistency, and the reciprocation in play, right? The reciprocation in play, they're making me, they were trying to make me feel like a victim, like I wasn't doing the right thing, like I was getting people sick, right? And how did they get, who knows how many people, I'll keep it on the US, 330 million people almost, to just do it, right? And we can see that, the powers that be, right? We could see their commitment and consistency, right? They've beaten us down to a point where put a mask on, okay.
Or else.
Right? And how did they do it? They started it with lockdowns. They started, I'm going to lock you in your house. Okay. I'm going to let you out. Like, it's like almost like a dog or a child.
But.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
You're not grounded anymore, but throw this diaper on your face because that will help.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's just I just thought it was great to point out an example of, okay, now you get the social proof that everybody's doing it. And how did you get everybody to do it? Well, reciprocation.
Commitment, consistency, all links.
Well, you can't go here. You can't do this, not unless you comply and put your diaper on, not unless you do this, not unless you do that. And the consistency across the board. And that's where, you know, having the government regulate and be in control of all these things, they're able to give a blanket, you know, consistency across the board on these things. It's intense. And a lot of us, you guys out there watching, see these things, but imagine most of the general population, they don't look at things like this. And in fact, just us talking about it in this manner, a lot of people will understand and maybe look at it a little more, but most people, they'd be like, you guys are just absolute conspiracy theorists. You don't know what you're talking about. This is done for our own good. And that's the level of you know, manipulation that they're under.
Yeah. I mean, I thought of something just there when you were talking about, you know, something you said. It's like a school. We've all been to school. Most of the population have been to school. So they're used to being in a classroom doing everything they're told. They're used to lining up outside and when the bell goes, walking in or walking out, regimented for the dinner queue. It's all regimented. So all you need is one headmaster, the government, to say, ding-a-ling-a-ling, put your masks on.
Yeah.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Oh. Don't come out your house.
Well, we're hearing a lot of it now, especially coming out of Canada, I believe, where they're talking in the different provinces of Canada. Oh, and it started very innocently, right? A couple of the mainstream media outlets would post a Twitter poll saying, do you think we should bring back mask mandates? And of course, you know, overwhelmingly no on these Twitter polls, but what it's doing is it's getting the idea back out there in circulation again. And once they start to see it again, people are going to start doing it. Because I still, to this day, I still see people alone in their cars. I still see people, you know, and so it's still there for a lot of people, and it won't take much. And this is that majority, I think, of people that is going to have the major effect on it. Once again, of those are the people that just want to kind of, they're just going to go along to get along.
Well, I can remember being in like, and I was in sixth grade because it was a specific school. And I can remember I broke the teachers down once because what they would do is you would get to school, and then you would form these lines before you went inside. And it was cold out. And all of a sudden you'd see Joel walking right to the building. Be like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's cold out. I'm not doing this. Yeah. And they'd be like, Joel, go back and get in line. And I'd be like, no. And I'd walk into the building and I'd wait outside my classroom. And for three or four days, it was the same thing. What are you doing? I told you yesterday, this is stupid. I'm cold.
Yeah.
I'm going inside. And it's amazing. It's just truly.
Yeah. I think, the school has got a lot to answer for. It's programmed us to be conformist. Oh, yeah. And also, when I think Pat mentioned, or Joel, I can't remember, you'll get a certain degree of the population who will be, most of them on board, and then you'll get the hardcore minority who will be squealing up other people. He ain't got his mask on.
Yep.
She's out of her house. So they're like the school SWATs. They're the ones who brought Apple in for the teacher. You know?
Right.
So it translates into society. So those ones that were really, you know, the conformity people in this classroom, the SWATs and the teachers' pets, they're the ones in society now who are looking through their curtains at, oh, number seven's just left the door. I better phone the council.
Well, that's exactly it. And it's that's another grooming of society, the tell on people, right? I know as a kid, as a very young child, I can remember my mother saying, don't be a tattletale. Like, why did you? Go handle it. I didn't always handle it in the most positive way, but now lesson learned. But like they've trained people to tell authorities. They trained children to tell on their parents. They trained, and we see it all the time, like in public transportation or sporting events or just out in public. See something, say something. See something, say something. See something, say something. And it's that. That'll go into the NLP later on, but it's intriguing. And not intriguing. It's interesting. It's very to watch it go on, to be able to step back and look at things. It's very,
maybe one of you guys can help me on this one, because as we're talking about this, it's kind of like, so when you have a crowd, let's just say, for example, people that are, protesting, peaceably assembled, they're out there, they're actually just protesting very calmly. There's a certain percentage of people that they say that if you introduce them to this crowd and they start a little bit of violence, once it gets to a certain percentage, 5% or 10%, whatever it is, they can actually turn the whole crowd towards a violence, and very few of that crowd will actually go the other direction and maybe leave. We witnessed that in 2020 here in the United States with all of the different peaceful protests that were going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's something that we see and saw this with all of the COVID scam, with masking and social distancing and lockdowns and all the rest of the things that have gone along with it, is what percentage do they need before they'll start to get the majority of people to start wearing a mask again, or to go out there and get themselves injected, or, you know, to lock themselves back in their homes again. And this is something that we need to continue to stay aware of, because, you know, as we've gone through, like you said, Joel, the reciprocation, the commitment and consistency leading us to this social proof, where all of a sudden they understand, right? Those that are influencing this behind the scenes, they know. So I don't know. It's I think it's something in the range of 5%, they say.
And you're exactly right. The riots and the riots, whatever you want.
No, those were peaceful, Joel. Stop it.
But they were peaceful until one person.
Yes.
Until one person did something, and everybody's like, oh, that looks fun. Let's destroy shit.
Well, because, the best example I saw of that, and I remember, Joel, you and I believe were watching it. It was in, I think it was in Minneapolis, wherever it was. But they were protesting, but it was getting pretty riled up. And literally, you had one guy come around the corner of an auto parts building with a hammer in his hand and start smashing the glass on the building. Within 10 minutes, the entire place was on fire. They were burning things. And that was, I think, the night that they burned down one of the police precincts. It didn't take all that much because they were already pretty angry. So you take a group, you know, and it's interesting because those that do control, they know these things. They're well aware of these things. So, and that kind of brings you into, the next example coming in.
Yeah. I think. Liking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm on the sort of same lines as the protest and the starting off a fire, you know, violence. They plant people in there to do that, to initiate the violence. And they infiltrate groups and they're likable people. You know, they're like normal people, but sometimes they're not, they're cops.
Right.
So anyone you like, there's a feeling in people that, oh, I like this guy or this woman. I'm going to do what they say or align with them. And there's a thing about people that like other people. Logic goes out the window. And maybe that's part of our DNA through evolution, that people that we like, we can form bonds with and, you know, communities and feel secure. So that's a positive thing. It's an evolutionary thing. But sometimes modern people, or maybe always, people haven't always been honest. So they'll feign that they're good people. Yep. And that's when we trust the wrong people. But liking is a big psychological factor in gaining someone's trust. You know, so people need to be aware. Not everyone that you like is your friend. Mike Tyson said a good quote once. He said, not everybody that fights you is your enemy. And not everybody that helps you is your friend.
Ha. Right.
I thought that was quite deep.
Yeah, man.
And that's liking.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
You can look at it from the riots and the protesting, but my way of looking at something like this is going to be politics, right? I mean, when we look at just here in the United States or even for you guys in the UK, we have the left and the right paradigm going on right now here in the States. Obviously, the big thing now is because Donald Trump's going to save us again. Right. This time will be different. Right. So he's going to run again. And, you know, people often don't look back and see any of the negatives that he did, just like so many people right now will not look at all of the negatives of a Joe Biden. Right. And they certainly won't look at how both of them have helped to get things to where they are today, because that's ultimately the goal and the plan. But when you look at the left, right, parent, this is why, you know, the enemy, our enemy, you know, humanity's enemy. This is why they break it into a two-party system in most all countries. Because if all you have to choose from is bad and bad, you know, is left and right, it makes it so much easier to keep them under control. And it's okay, you know, I don't like that Joe Biden did this, or I don't like that Donald Trump did that, but... And once they throw that butt in, everything they said prior to it is like, okay, null and void, because he's going to do this or he's going to do that, it's going to make it okay. And, you know, it's like I remember growing up, my father's famous statement was always, Patrick, you have to vote for the lesser of two evils. So you have to vote for evil. Because he knew, and this is, you know, he falls into this category still to this day, he knew that what he was doing was not right, but it's more right than the other right.
Yes.
And the insanity escapes people.
Yeah. And a lot of people in that desperation of, oh, we got to vote for someone.
How are we ever going to stop this?
Yeah.
It's the false hope. Vote for the lesser of two evils. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I won't. I will not. I will not. First of all, I have... Very seldom do we have any idea of what either side of the political spectrum is going to do in the next 4 years. So I don't even know if I'm voting for the lesser of two evils, but that starts with, because I have a mind of my own and I understand that, like, so many people have just been brainwashed into, well, if it's left, it's going to be good, or if it's right, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Like, and all these people that just vote that way, it's like, what kind of a political spectrum do you actually want? Because all you seem to want is a totalitarian right or left. You just want yours. And it's like, so what, deep down, what do you really want? Because you're looking for a fascist, communist, you know, insert ist or any ist or ism that you want at the end of it. Okay.
Yeah.
You want your brand. You have no interest in being open-minded or willing to listen to somebody with an alternative view. You're a lemming. That's what you are. You're a lemming.
Yeah. And a fascist.
And a fascist, and a socialist, and a communism.
Don't forget bigot racist.
All a bigot racist. Yeah. And it's you look at it and it's like, oh, okay, I get you.
Yeah.
And it's that open-mindedness and that willingness and the lack of empathy and all of these things that when you get to the end of the line, it's like, you know, you're just a perfectly molded little fella, aren't you? And it's
right. Left and right, it should be right and wrong. Left is, if it's left is wrong, don't want it. If right is wrong, don't want it.
Yeah. Mic drop. Right? Thank you for tuning into Waking the Future.
Right and wrong. What is this insanity you speak of, Tony? But this is also the next category where we work right down the line, because, you know, looking at the liking, right, that brings in social proof, which brings in commitment and consistency, which brings in the reciprocation, which leads us right to authority, which is your next, category. Yeah. In this.
Authority is an illusory one, I believe. It's like, all you got to do is put a costume on and a little name badge, and you can boss people about. It's something in people that trusts and believes in this crap, you know what I mean? I'll call it. But yeah, authority, assumed deference to uniform, title, rank, etc. It's people have been conditioned, I think it's still from school and parents, like right from the beginning, they get told what to do from the start. So that figure is now an authority figure. And in that figure, the parent or parents ships out the child to another authority figure called school. So the child's thinking, well, you're the authority figure, mum and dad, so you're giving me to these people. So they must be the new authority figure.
Yeah.
So it's like we're assuming that the next one is also an authority figure. So we're conditioned to believe. And then the school teaches us about the police, the firemen, the doctors, you know, the priests and all the rest of them, and that they're authority figures. So we take from the school that, oh, these are the other authority figures. So we're taught who to believe is authority. Mm-hmm. And it starts young, which I don't know how us lot have got out of, you know, believing in it, because it's like kryptonite to the rest of them. We just see through it. But yeah, authority is assumed. We assume it's true. Mm-hmm. When we look into it, it's actually our will and our choice. We don't have to believe in it. We don't have to follow it. But yeah, authority, uniform, a label, and assumption.
And then you throw in propaganda. You know, through the television and you know, the internet and social media and all the rest of these things.
That's it.
And that really does it programs people to they get to a point in their life where they say, you know, without this authority, you know, we would have anarchy, we would have chaos. Oh my gosh, right? And they all forget that, you know, most people are good people. Most people deep down inside, if you were to be able to remove all of these things we've been talking about here, right? You know, these outside influences, they're good people deep down inside. I mean, I work with people all the time, and you know, Joel, I know you do, and you know, it's people tend to not come out the gates evil right out, you know. They just want to, you know, kind of live and be good and do their thing. But because of this authority figure, because of this system that they've been raised in and pushed through, you know, they don't really know any better. And especially when it comes to being their own authority and taking care of themselves and all the rest, this is such a fringe idea that most people just can't accept it.
Well, when, once you get, it goes into the whole group thing, the free from the herd, right? Once you get people removed from a crowd and you can get them one-on-one, people all of a sudden, they'll feel comfortable to express themselves. They'll feel comfortable to contradict what you say. But if there's a group setting involved and there's that chance that you're going to be outside the many, everything changes. It's once you get people into groups, you know, George Carlin had the greatest quote, because he was doing an interview with somebody and he said, you know, I made a decision to step away from society because I love people. I really do. I love one-on-one. I love people as individuals.
Yeah.
I love people when I get to know who they are. But he said, once you get them into groups of three or four or even two, they change and people change. And I think that's what's different with people like us and inside our community. I'm going to say the same thing in a group of 200 as I am in a group of two.
I can attest to that
too. You're still not going to like it probably at a lot of times, but I'm not going to, I don't change my tune. I'm not going to go along to get along. Not my style.
No.
Never has been. And it's, I think that's what separates our community from everybody else, is that like you said, with the right and wrong. I don't care that everybody's stealing to benefit themselves. I'm not going to steal.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, you know, I don't care what that person did in the past. I'm going to help them now.
Yeah.
Right. It's.
Yep.
It's totally right. The authority of anyone, you should be saying to yourself, is what they're asking me to do morally right? Yes or no? Yeah. If it isn't, take the hike. Go.
Right.
At my face. Or if it's right, they'll do it with conditions.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take, I have this get out clause. Whenever I feel like it, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Well, it's like,
you don't own me.
Electrocute this person if they're wrong. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Is it BDN? No. Okay. I'm not electrocuting them.
Like, wow, that came out of nowhere, Joel. Damn. You know, but it's also
just a little bit.
Just kidding, BDN. I love you, man.
I
would never electrocute you.
It also comes down to the moral standards too, right? So who decides what is right and what is wrong? And this brings up the authority once again. You know, in society, you know, there are rights and there are wrongs. And when you look at it, okay, is hurting another person wrong? Yeah. Right. Is forcing somebody to do something against their will wrong? Yes. But those out there that would say, yes, but if I don't force this person to do this against their will, that person may hurt another person. Now we're starting to get into the gray area that they've been able to normalize.
Yes.
And watch it still. And once again, not to beat the dead horse of masking, but this is where they're able to sell this to the masses of people that don't critically think, that don't actually look at things and say, you know, it does not matter. Because it is wrong to force another to do this. And, you know.
There's no gray area.
There is no gray area. We understand understand. Yeah, but, you know.
If you're scared, stay the fuck home.
If you're scared.
Okay? And that's, you know, And that's that, you know, if there was actually anything going on, if there is something dangerous out there, okay, you don't need the media, you don't need somebody to tell you, you don't need to, you know, it's like oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
Don't step into it.
You know, unless, you of course, you're protesting climate change.
You don't. Cool. You don't have that. Well, that's stopping traffic.
Oh, yeah. All right. Sorry.
And it's like, and nobody understands that. Nobody gets that. Like, if there's a pandemic going on, guess what? People are fucking dying. So you don't need CNN and Fox and newspapers and Facebook. You don't need to tell people. You think during the Black Plague, like, they needed to put it in the advertisement, like the local newspaper? People like, no, I'm pretty sure, you know, yellow fever, all of these things, the Spanish flu. Okay, whether or not how it started, you did not need to tell people, or you didn't need to tell them what to do. Because there were enough.
Well, Spanish flu was you know, at least in most recent history, when that really started as far as being told what to do. I mean, masking was going on back in the Spanish flu days. That's you had right. the anti-mask brigades, and you know, a lot of the division there. But no, yeah, you know, it's absolutely. I mean, if we start to insert that gray area into any type of a topic or situation, rather, not topic, that's where you start to eliminate. And once they're able to get that gray area in there, they've got it. That's where they've got you. I mean, they've got the masses right there, because that gray area gives them that next step forward where they can then jump and leap and go, and we've witnessed it happen.
Yeah. And that gray area, like I say, Pat, is gives people doubt in the mind. Oh, I don't want to spread the virus. Oh, I don't want to get people killed.
Yeah.
So there's rather than say, I'll take my chances. Yeah. I'm going where I want to go. I'll take my chances. Thanks. I'm on my own.
You're not allowed to do that. You're in that gray area right now, Tony. You know, you can't do that. And that's it. And that, you know, without that authority over other people, they're not able to really do these things.
I would rather live freely for 6 months than live in my home scared for 10 years.
Well, we found out you're a big part of a minority on that one, Joel.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's interesting, you know, this authority that we see going on, you know, it's kind of like in the whole idea behind, like, say, a vampire, right? A vampire is not going to hurt you in your home because you have to invite them in. This authority in society that we see, we've invited them in, right? And this is where you get into the whole voting and selections and all the rest of these things. We've invited them in when you're always looking for the lesser of two evils to be the better of the well, this is what we tend to get. This is the end. Yeah. We're seeing the end results, or potentially the end results.
We're giving them consent to be our leaders.
Yep, exactly. What's this last one you got going? Scarcity. It's interesting.
Yeah, scarcity. You're right. I need better glasses now. upgrading. Yeah, scarcity. The principle of rarity. So if something's rare or scarce, they tell you, you know, oh, it's the last one in the shop. If you don't buy it now, it's going to be gone.
Yeah.
You know, I can't keep it for you either. So give us your money. Or, you know, oh, we've got to get this guy out of Parliament. He's a psychopath. Vote for me. Mm-hmm. I'll save the country.
Yep.
And they kind of back you into a corner that you have to act now. You have to do it now. You have to give us your trust now, because it's a small window of opportunity or scarcity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you feel...
Hey, make America great again.
That's it. And it's fear, isn't it? It's just the fear that they put across. Oh, if I don't buy it now, oh, fear of losing it. I might not have it tomorrow. So the fear tactic again.
Yeah.
It's scarcity.
Going out of business sales, right? I can't for the life of me. I don't know. I've seen it somewhere. Maybe it was a television show or something I've watched in the past, whatever. But, you know, a guy that basically his business is going out of business sale. Like, it's always, he's electronics or something like that.
Okay.
And it's always the I'm going out of business sale going on. And you know, somebody asks, what is this all about? You've been open for 20 years. But they don't know that. You know, and that's the, you know, the idea here is, you know, so when you break it down and you look at it from the authority side of things, this government side of things, you know, you're constantly, you know, this guy is ruining everything. It's all coming to an end. It's all going to, we're all going to die as a result or whatever. This guy is going to fix it though. This guy is going to come in and take care of business for us and make it
better. You have to act now.
Yeah. Act. Otherwise it's too late.
Yeah.
Right.
They keep you in fear.
And this is another one. Yeah. Sorry, this is another one that could be used for positives, right? I mean, so a legit, you know, reason for say a business, you know, like let's say a product is going to be discontinued, right, and actually go out of existence. Hey, you know, come check this out. You know, there can be net positives, especially if it's something good. Though typically something good, you might not want to discontinue, but
no, it should be all available. But yeah, that's it. They're I know that we fear lack or we fear threat.
Yeah.
I know what we fear. So they use it and say, we're the answer, but you have to act now or you have to do as we say, because we can help you. We can provide the solution to this scarcity of salvation or, you know, solution.
Yeah. Well, the other part that I wanted to kind of jump into and I think we're going to wind up leaving this week here, Tony, only because we start getting into NLP and it's going to be over. We'll be on another hour, but part of the this one here, the scarcity, right? So they can create demand for an item, right? So you put petrol, electric, food, whatever they decide by simply reporting shortage on the evening news. Or other mind control devices. So, you know, insert your favorite social media app here. And, you know, though we do tend to see actual shortages as a result after the fact, you know, when they start to say, you know, 3-6 months in advance, there are going to be, and Joel and I have been, you know, we've perpetrated behind some of this as well in the past where, you know, where we see something and we jump on it. My God, guys, if you don't,
guilty of that too.
Yeah. You know, I think most people, if they dig into themselves, that they'll be able to admit that, you know what? Yeah, I have been, you know, but there's also that fine line with so many other things, like with all these other things we talked about, where when they perpetrate this, they talk about this and they say, we're going to see these shortages, even though we're not, it creates the shortage because then people go out in these panics and all the rest.
That's it.
And
Well, we recently had the, there's only 20, there's 20 days of diesel left in the United States.
And I go, one now.
And I go like, here we go. All my right friends are going to be telling me, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Yeah. But this is all, that's also something, Joel, that I think is starting to actually materialize as well. We are starting to see certain areas where they're starting to run low. And this is something fabricated or not, right? They will actually go as far as to push this in certain areas on the East Coast or wherever it may be. Now, how long? What's the purpose behind it? These are things. And it amazes me because
I haven't seen it.
Again, you know, I mean, that doesn't mean, you know, that it's legit, right? But diesels, something that comes from it's manufacturing of gasoline. So there should be more diesel fuel readily available always than gasoline. So we have to look a little further on it, but they start to fabricate. And this is where the truth media starts to come into play on helping these things. A lot of times is, you know, if we're sitting here banging on this drum, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Well, with more and more people that are coming around to these truth circles, it can
be true,
right? You know,
I had a thought, occurred to me back in when the COVID thing started. There was a theory that it was to wipe out small businesses, lockdown, ruin the independent businesses, small to medium, middle classes, and annihilate all business so that it would only be, you know, the corporates, eBay, Amazon, you know, so on.
Working pretty well so far.
Yeah, it's like this almost seems like the electric prices going up, the petrol going up, the food going up, all because of a war. It's like they're mopping up. Oh, we've got a few surviving businesses here. Oh, there's some people with savings over there. Put the prices up. It's like they've pulled the levers to finally wipe out any money that's out there.
Well, it's the elimination of the middle class, the haves and the have-nots, the think the haves and the people that think they have, the haves and will never have. And, you know, and we see it, like, you know, and when you go into, you know, you go into the deliberate dumbing down of education. Well, I forget the exact name of the book, whatever. But, you know, actual poverty programs, right? Youth programs through poverty programs. Make the people poor, produce a program, and you keep them poor. And you're absolutely right. I think one of the elimination of the middle class and the smaller business, and because all of small business shows is independence. All that shows is a free mind. Like, I'm not going to go work for somebody else. I'm going to do my own thing. Even if I don't make as much money, I'm going to do what makes me happy and provide a service for people locally. And maybe it'll expand from there, but I'm going to do what I want. You can't have that. It's not allowed.
The problem is we need people dependent upon us. So the reaction side of this is going to be, we need to decimate them and put them in a position where they're now groveling to us so that they will now, for the solution,
we have to let them know
being dependent upon
us. And we saw in the early 90s, you know, with Waco and Ruby Ridge, you know, they were very willing to show us what they were willing to do if you stepped outside the line and started to do your own thing. Okay, they were willing to take the black eyes that they took for the 6 months before people forgot, because the newest episode of Beverly Hills 90210 was on that. And I'm going back to when those things happened, because it's that's
Joel's going back to a show he used to watch. That's what I think I hear there.
That's what was on the television.
Yeah,
but you know, and people, you know, you can't, like you said, you had freedom. Right. I want freedom. I don't want liberty. OK, everybody talks about liberty like, oh, I need liberty. No, sorry. But that's somebody else giving you freedom. I'm all set with the liberty. Give me freedom. I don't want my freedom through another individual ever under any circumstances, under any condition. Right.
Yes.
So that's enough ranting from me.
Fantastic stuff. So I think this week, coming in for next week, we should be able to remember the three letters NLP, because that's where we're gonna start off from next week.
Right, then, quick. I'm set.
Tony, awesome stuff, man.
Cool. It's been great. Good stuff covered.
Yeah, I feel like this is a really good episode. Like, we didn't, like, some of them, I feel like we don't really pick a good stopping point. We pick a time. We do it based off of time, and we're like halfway through a thought, and we're like, "Oh, it's been an hour. Time to go."
By the way,
do your own research. Bye bye.
And it's interesting, Joel. I actually haven't even paid attention to the time on this, so I have no idea how long we've been chatting. You know, this was fun. I think it's right around the hour. We typically, think the mechanisms inside the brain tend to let us know.
It's really great.
Tells us.
And I think we're going to keep some guests to the, especially episodes like this, keep it to the weekend, where there's no pressure for time. There's no, and if they go longer, they go longer. Yeah. If people want to listen, they can listen. If they don't, they don't have to, you know? So Tony, it's great. I love chatting with you, man. It's a great episode every time. I don't know if anybody has in closing.
All I'll say in closing is this: Guys, we appreciate all of you guys. We've been getting hit with a ton of emails from a lot of you guys on coming back on the show, continuing. So Joel and I are in the process right now. We're really kind of revamping our methods on scheduling and all these other things. So, we're going to have a lot of repeat guests. It's going to turn quickly from a bi-weekly chat with people. Some will try to keep it at the bi-weekly, but a lot of it's going to be like monthly recurring chats with people, because we've got so many of you out there, which is awesome. It's the Waking the Future community coming to fruition right before our eyes, guys. So it's awesome. We appreciate you.
Yeah. Tony, you got anything?
Freedom. And any means to get it, because we're run by criminals who are not be playing fair, so we shouldn't be playing fair. They can say what they want, do what they want, but we, our ultimate driving force from the spirit, the part of us that is intelligent, creative, the part of us that built all of this world, we built this forum. We need to take it back and say, you don't own us anymore. We own this world. We built this world. Time's up. And just do whatever it takes to eliminate their influence over us.
Yeah. That's awesome, Tony. And I 100% agree. So, again, and as Pat said, I gotta throw in my 2 cents. Thank you, everybody. The emails it's amazing. We're building a community here. We're building an actual community here. Yeah. We had a guest say thank you so much. I've been able to contact certain people through you guys, and that's what we're all about here. We don't expect everybody to think like us. We don't expect anybody to act like us. We just want to chill, man, really, and bounce ideas off of each other and live as actual civilized human beings. If you like what Waking the Future is doing, please think about checking out awaken-attire.com and checking out some of what we got over there. But as always, don't take Tony's word for it. Do not take Pat's word for it. Absolutely, under no circumstances, take my word for it. Do your own research. Come to your own conclusion and your own truth. Remember, guys, freedom starts at home and from within. Ladies.